Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Hey, you. Listen, I woke up rich this morning. Like, rich. It's payday. And I know we're all rich for about 5 minutes on payday before we farm all the stuff out to the bills and the mortgage and the shopping and the kids need this and the kids need that. And you've got things that you've had on hold waiting for today to sort out all that stuff, right? But I did that and I was still rich. And I thought, something isn't right. This is not normal behaviour. So I checked it out. They'd paid me too much. They'd paid me like almost double, which ain't right. I mean, obviously, totally worth it, but it ain't right and it ain't normal. So I'm there for about 5 minutes, just enjoying that feeling and enjoying the fantasy of keeping it. I know, I'm not that person. I'm totally not that person, and I couldn't have done it. The guilt would have got too much. I think. So what I had to do was like dob myself in. So I rang up my husband and I told him what happened and I said, I've got to tell him, haven't I? Once it was out there, the devil was off my shoulder, or at least he was a bit quieter. But once it was out there, it wasn't just my thing anymore. But I'm not proud to admit this. It was a very strong possibility at one point that Uncle Rupert might have been a little bit of money down. They wouldn't have been able to find it, would they? The other thing about me is I've got this really, really annoying thing, one of many annoying things, called a conscience. And that conscience would not have allowed me to spend any money until I was absolutely sure that I was never going to be found out. And that was never going to happen. So I spoke up. I told the boss. I said, I mean, I'd love to believe that maybe they owed me some money and there's been some sort of mix-up, but it's not mine and that's actually my money. But I've got to say it out loud, you better ask about it. And they found out that, yeah, they've paid the wrong person the wrong money. I've got someone else's wages. That made it absolutely concrete that I'd done the right thing. But for a moment there, devil on my shoulder was loud. Quite loud. And I've experienced it before. Have you ever bumped someone else's car? You're on your own in a car park. It's one of those really stupid things where you reverse and you didn't see how close they were or whatever, and just hear that crunch. I am not the only person who, for a flashing second, imagines driving off. You may even have driven off and gone back again. But that devil on your shoulder is there, right? So I want to hear tonight about the times the devil was on your shoulder. And do you think you would have done what I did? And dobbed yourself in. 0344 499 1000. Who is your conscience? Who's the person that you dob yourself into, right? If you feel like you're about to slip the wrong side of those tracks, who's the person that you would say stuff out loud to and you know that they will... Well, if they say it's okay, it's probably all right. 0344 499 1000. Of course, that can go either way. If you've got someone who's a terrible, terrible person, you might end up, I mean, a lot richer, but certainly more dishonest. 0344 499 1000. And also today, I heard some words of wisdom. And I'm not going to tell you from whom, maybe until like the last hour or something, because I don't want you to prejudge it on the basis of who it comes from. Suffice to say, it's someone who has lived a life and has experienced things that most of us will never experience. And he came out with some things. He's had loads of therapy as well. And this is the result of it, right? He's had loads of therapy. And he said something that, a few things that stopped me in my tracks. First of all, he said, better to F it up. In fact, he used the word, better to F it up than not try. And he also said, if you're working hard at a relationship, you're in the wrong relationship. Now, I was certainly brought up to think that, you know, marriages in particular, but long-term relationships in general, are about give and take and working hard. And sometimes it is difficult, but you get through it together and it takes work. I mean, that was the overriding thing. After all the tits and tinsel and the big party that is a wedding, the marriage itself takes work. But this guy's saying, if you're working hard, you're in the wrong relationship. What do you reckon? 0344 499 1000. And we've got loads of other stupid stuff to talk about. Don't ever fear about that. And if you want to talk about some old Tom Dickory, then you're more than welcome. You know the number. You can either do that, 0344 499 1000. You can tweet at Talk Radio or at Flippin' Caff, that's me. Or you can text Talk and your message to 87222. And that text will cost you 25p plus your standard network rate. Really love to hear your voice on this one, because everyone's had different experiences, but I reckon we've all had a moment with the devil on our shoulder at some point, and we've all been in a situation where we've thought to ourselves, is this hard work because this is the way things are, or is this hard work because I'm in the wrong place? 0344 499 1000, give me a shout. Hey, Harrison.
Hi, Kat, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Nice to hear your voice bright and early.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
What's going on?
Pardon?
What's going on with you? Tell me.
Oh, yeah, so no, I just thought I'd give you a ring because, you know, I tweeted you last night. And
yeah.
I know Gemma on Twitter said that I should call you about my phobia and the treatment.
Right, talk to me about that, because I didn't see your conversation,
yeah.
But my interest was piqued by what she said. So you've got some sort of phobia and
yeah,
you've learned to deal with it. Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've kind of learned to deal with it. I mean, I'm trying loads of different therapies for it. But basically, I'll start from the beginning because then it kind of makes sense and stuff like that. So, from when I was like really young, when I like first started nursery, I was, you know, had some unusual habits. So I would like run out the lunchtime hall. I used to struggle to interact with the other kids, and literally I was the happiest kid there. When my parents turned up, I used to like run and like jump in the air and like smiley and everything. And like honestly, you've never seen a kid so happy. I was so happy to get out of there. And, so they picked up on strange habits, and turns out that, you know, that they kind of brought in professionals and stuff to talk to my parents about it. And I was diagnosed with Asperger's.
Right.
And, you know, that's probably why I was finding the social interaction difficult and the lunch times and stuff like that. And it went on through school as well. And I was, you know, so when I was at school, obviously, you know, how the like, primary school lunch times are. You got to sit in the hall with all the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like all the tables in there, and it's like a massive crowd. And I think that's partly, you know, with the Asperger's, it's large crowds. But I'm also quite sensitive to certain smells and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was really, lunch times at primary school were really difficult. And it just throughout, I had to, in the end, the school gave in and they let me sit away from the other kids. But it was just so difficult to deal with sitting in the hall. And quite recently, actually, interesting, I don't know whether it's related, but it possibly is, I started to notice that I had the phobia coming on. And the phobia is, it's called emetophobia, and I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's a extreme fear of throwing up.
Yes,
basically.
I have heard of it. I have heard of it.
It's quite common, apparently. I started to notice this like fear of throwing up. And actually, I haven't been sick physically for 13 years, I think, now. I think that's partly due to excessive hand washing and like preventing it and stuff like that. Because I'm so worried about the possibility of it happening. But you know, this became apparent like quite recently, like about 5 years ago, and it kind of went away a couple of years ago, and now it's really come back again. And I feel sick almost on a daily basis. It's usually brought on by an intrusive thought. And sometimes I don't notice what that thought is, but it just happens. And so I've tried, I tried CAMS on the NHS. Like that was basically just sitting around a table and chatting. That didn't really do anything for me. Then I tried CBT, which is like the record, I don't know, you know, CBT.
Yeah,
like
cognitive behavioural therapy.
That's it, yeah. So it's the one that they, it's kind of their go-to, so they recommend that one first, really. So I tried CAMS, that didn't work, tried CBT, and I mean, I don't know whether it was just down to the guy that was doing it, because he didn't really seem to, you know, he wasn't very helpful. But I don't know whether it was down to that, or whether it was, you know, the CBT wasn't working for him, I'm not sure. But actually this week I've tried hypnotherapy, do you know, kind of, it's like hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting, actually, because I was really nervous about it, because when I went on Thursday for the first session, and I kind of thought that I was, you know, I kind of thought I was going to be really, like, out, completely out of it. I didn't really know what I was kind of worried about. I thought maybe I'll, like, you know, didn't really know what I would turn into when I was hypnotized. So I tried it for the first session, and it was really weird, because I didn't actually go into a full hypnotic state, and I don't really know why that is, because, you know, she tried the, like, speaking and doing the that kind of, you know, the, trying to put me in a hypnotic state, but it just didn't work, really, and I'm still going to go back for a second session, but I'm just not really sure, like, where to go now. I've got some stuff that I need to fill out, like, in a book and stuff, but I don't know, it's interesting one. I just wondered what your thoughts were, really.
Well, I was going to ask you whether I can play armchair psychologist with this.
Yeah.
I have experience of emetophobia because one of my daughter's friends has it, and it, honestly, her worst fear happened recently when my daughter had a sleepover. And my youngest daughter is inclined to stuff in her face, and I think she may have like a lactose intolerance or something.
Yeah.
Something is triggering her. And it tends to happen on a weekend, and it tends to happen like after a party or something that's unusual, so an unusual sort of eating patterns. Uh-huh. And in the middle of the night, they're all sleeping on these, they're all sleeping on the floor. She was ill in the middle of the night, suffice to say, without going into too much detail, because you don't need that. And my daughter's friend was absolutely beside herself. It caused her to go. Then she was getting more and more upset. We had to take her home. My husband had to drive her home in the middle of, like, it was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, because she just couldn't settle. She was terrified. She was so upset. And she had a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And we took her home, and her dad's a policeman. And the next day, when we spoke to the parents, because we were like horrified that we'd had such a good night, and then it ended in this kind of huge drama. Of course, everyone's up, all the lights are on, and it was awful. And that poor girl. Yeah. And the next morning, the dad said, your husband's got a really good copper's knock. He was wasted, because apparently, you know, not wasted like that, but he was wasted in the job he had, because apparently he nearly, you know, knocked the whole street down. But it turned out it wasn't my husband that had done the knocking. It was this 11-year-old girl, so determined she was to get into the house. So anyway, this poor kid, and it was just awful. And I wonder, with her, and I've spoken to her mum about this, her mum's not been well, and I wonder whether it is about, what she's worried about is sort of loss of control.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I can totally relate to that, because, you know, I obviously don't know. I can't remember what it feels like to be sick, because it hasn't happened in so long. And I think as soon as you start to feel sick, that's the problem with emetophobia, is when you start to feel sick, and that's obviously a physical symptom of a panic attack.
Yeah.
So when you start to have this intrusive thought and it makes you feel sick, you then descend into a panic attack, and then that just, it's a spiral, isn't it? It just continues, and then it turns into a symptom of the panic attack, and then it feels like it's never ending.
Yeah.
And that is just horrific. So
I wonder whether that's also why you were not able to get completely into the hypnotic state that she wanted you in.
Yeah, that's true. Because I was kind of, when she did this thing where she tried to get me to think about, and the one that really worked was when she said, imagine, she was speaking in this really soft voice, and she was saying, imagine you're like looking up at the night sky with all the stars and the moon. Imagine you're walking on the moon and no one can see you. And that was nice. And then what was really weird is, you know, because she wanted to get to this exercise where she was going to, like, determine the cause of the emetophobia, so, like, where it all started. And unfortunately, we didn't manage to get to that because I just couldn't relax.
Mm.
And it was really weird because she was going to do this thing with, like, a finger movement where I, was meant to twitch. She's done it with other patients that have emetophobia, and they, like, they twitch. And then when she mentions, like, a certain year or a certain time in their life, and then she can pinpoint the moment that it started, and I was obviously hoping to get to that. But I just couldn't relax in the hypnotic state. I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it's good to try it. And obviously everyone's Asperger's is different. And
yeah.
But I know that there is a general pattern that is about kind of necessity for routine and for certainty.
That's so true with me, because I, you know, when I was going through my childhood mainly, I was so hung up in routines, and if my routine changed, it would just go, this is a separate point, but if my routine changed, I had this routine, I'd do certain things on certain days, and if it changed, I would just have a full-on breakdown, essentially.
There's that control thing again.
That's it, yeah. I think, and change is something that they've always mentioned to me, that the medical professionals said, you know, you obviously really struggle with change, and that is common with Asperger's, mm-hmm. you know, very, very common. And that's definitely something I have struggled with, yeah.
How helpful do you think it is to sort of know yourself the way you do? You probably know yourself better than most people, because you've had to think about yourself in terms of you, and also what's the Asperger's, what's you, and what's changeable?
Yeah, that's it. So I know, Mike, I have also with Asperger's, you have something that you are able to focus on specifically. Yeah. So for me, it's, you know, you might know I'm really, like, really heavily interested in radio, and I'm full on anorak, I'm proper radio geek, and I just once I get talking about something to do with radio, something that I'm passionate about, I just literally will go off on one about it, and that's almost uncontrollable in itself when I go off on a monologue, because I'm just so passionate about it, and it also helps me to distract myself as well from the negative thoughts. So there is a positive to Asperger's. There are so many positives to Asperger's and being on the autistic spectrum.
Yeah.
Because of that, obviously, you're able to, when you have a job, you're able to be dedicated, like, totally fixed on that job, and then you don't get distracted, and it's your top priority. So that's one of the positives, and there are others as well. You know, the technical stuff and stuff that it's commonly associated with Asperger's and people that are on the autistic spectrum. So yeah, it's not all negative, but there's just that aspect of vulnerability as well. I struggle to go out on my own as well, you see. So, you know, I rely too much on my parents still, to be honest.
Well, no, you say you struggle, but you do it. You do it. And there are situations in which you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do it. But I do think I rely too much on my parents still. And I just need to, I want to be independent. I want to, start a career and be my own person, but it's just, I really struggle with going out on my own, and I just feel so vulnerable when I'm walking down the street. I don't know why that is, really.
Do you realise how incredible it is to ring a national radio station and be the first caller up and tell me all these kind of really personal things about yourself and hand over the control to someone else? That's what you've just done.
Yeah, I guess so.
You have?
But then I owe you and Ian as well. And Ian, if you're listening, you know, I hope you get well soon, mate, because I really, I really miss you, and we all really miss you. But it's, you guys, your show has been such a big help to me, because I only started, I've listened for quite a long time, but I only started engaging on Twitter and stuff quite recently. And I don't know why that is. I know that's been involved earlier, but honestly, it is such a massive help to me, because I can't recall the time I've had a panic attack when you guys have been on. I mean, it's just a total distraction, and it makes me laugh all the time. And I owe you guys a lot, so I really wanted to ring up and just talk to you particularly about it.
You're brilliant. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. It's been really interesting.
Obviously, it's any time. I do want to call up more regularly. I was saying this on Twitter, I struggle with being a caller. I can do a radio show,
because you're in control.
Yeah, that's it. You've nailed it. That's it. I mean, I've always found it quite nerve-wracking being a caller, but I don't want to take you guys for granted, so I want to try and ring up more. Just thank you so much.
Also
for the record and membership card as well. You know, platinum member 21. Getting that. You know, if I say I wasn't going to get a tattoo ever.
Don't get a tattoo, for God's sake.
No, I definitely won't.
I don't want to be responsible for that. But listen, thank you so much for ringing, Harrison. It's always nice to hear from you. And, it's us that are grateful to you. Thanks ever so much.
That's all right. That's fine. And I'll definitely come and see you in Bath as well. You've got that from
brilliant.
Me. I will.
Brilliant. I look forward to it. You take care of yourself. There's Harrison taking the plunge. You can do it too. 0344 499 1000. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative. And I'm Catherine Boyle.
Talk Radio.
Contact Talk Radio. Call 0344 499 1000. Text Talk and your message to 87222. Texts cost 25 pence plus your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us at Talk Radio.
This is Talk Radio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Britain feels broken, but how do we fix it?
Westminster just doesn't seem to have the answers, but we have found some people who do.
Join me, journalist Becca Hudson.
And me, the former MP Ed Vasey, for How I'd Fix.
From the price of a pint to the housing crisis, this is the show where we take an alternative look at the problems plaguing the nation.
And hear practical solutions from those in the know. Catch new episodes of How I'd Fix wherever you get your podcasts. Rebuilding Britain starts here.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Alistair and Roger, hang on, I'll be right there. First of all, let's speak to Giselle. If you want to give me a ring, it's 0344 499 1000. Hey, Giselle.
Hiya, you all right?
Yeah, fine, thanks. What you got?
I wasn't going to ring in, but I can relate to everything that Harrison just said, so I kind of feel obliged to give my take on it.
Go on then, let's hear it.
I feel it very important that I speak from my personal experience and stress that what I will say only comes from my personal experience, okay?
Sure.
As somebody with Asperger's, I was diagnosed when I was 16, which possibly might be a little bit older than Harrison was. I was told later on by professionals I worked with that, and again, I will just stress that this is my personal experience, that one of the things that they both liked and disliked about me is that I liked to know the ins and outs of a dog's arse. Now,
right.
I know that you absolutely know exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
However, what that means is sometimes people have the ability to know a little bit too much and want to look into things a little bit too much, and that itself can cause a problem. Now, it's very classical of somebody with Asperger's, with, you know, a certain division within the autism spectrum, to know everything about what it is that they're bothering them because to understand is to gain the knowledge to try and help themselves.
Yeah.
And that is perfectly, absolutely okay.
It's also that control thing again, isn't it? If I know what the enemy is, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. But if the problem, as he's saying, is a thought process, which is triggering something. Now, I know, because when I was 14, so when I was nearly 17, I felt sick every day, right? So I know that anxiety can bring about that thought, and you then feel sick, and then you kind of, it's a vicious circle. I totally understand. He's saying that he's worried that maybe he didn't get enough into a hypnotic meditative state. That is kind of the point. I mean, Ian spoke to a caller a few days ago whereby he said that people wiser than him would say that you're concentrating too hard on it if you can't get into a state straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But also, in your first hypnotherapy session, you're not going to straight away. I have also been hypnotised, right? So I have an understanding too. It may be, you know, induced in anxiety. That is, you know, by sound of it, possible. But it may be, there may well be an underlying medical thing. You can't rule that out unless you're a doctor. Obviously, I'm not trying to do that. But it's worth saying that it's, you know, I don't feel sick anymore, but it took several years for me to get over that, because I had to learn a different thought pattern in terms of the way that I coped with it, which really was about exposure therapy to what I was worried about.
You had to be in a room of people throwing up?
I had to face my own fears, you know? I wouldn't put myself in a room unless I could see all the exits, unless I was facing the door in case I did feel sick. Now, like him, I'm very rarely am sick. In fact, probably very similarly, it's actually a lot worse, the fear of it, than actually being sick in, in the eventuality, which is rarely happens because that's the whole point of fear, I guess. Being in control of the fear, that's kind of where you're taking back the control again. Obviously, he has some understanding, as you do, and I do, of control. It's about putting yourself... So I would put myself in that room when I was ready, and not look at the door constantly or whatever, but I make sure I knew where my exits were, of course. But it's about, you know, feeling safe in a situation. It kind of tricks your brain into thinking, actually, I am okay. Because when you're anxious, as anybody with a full phobia will know, you get to a point of a phobia where it gets to a heightened level. It gets so high that it can't go any higher, and it starts to come down again.
Yeah.
So it's... It's a slower process, you know. It takes time, but it is kind of possible to get through. Arming yourself with facts is great, but just be aware perhaps that that can cause you to overthink, which, again, right. If you have a tendency to do that anyway, may affect, you know, the thoughts. Because what happened with me was I'd wake up and the first thought I think was, do I feel sick?
Mm-hmm.
And that can then cause you to feel sick because you're then hyper-focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's something that's possible. But the only thing I'd say is, you know, if you're not sure about going back to hypnotherapy, but you thought it might help, try it again.
Yeah.
What have you got to lose? You know?
Would it be fair to say to you that with this, and I guess it's different with people with Asperger's than people without, right? Of course. But with a phobia like this, or like the thing about needing to see the doors or whatever, going and doing it, if you can get yourself into the position where you feel safe doing that, as safe as you can, you know, because obviously that phobia is still there. Going and doing it and realising that, do you know what, it might be horrible, but you're not going to die, and you did it, and nothing happened.
Yeah, get left everything.
That's the important thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you're teaching your brain. Because consciously, you know, a person is aware that, you know, this is likely not to happen, but I still feel like it.
Yeah.
It's the difference between the monkey mind, essentially. You can look into that if you want. You know, it's fight or flight and basically instinct and what happens in your subconscious before you kind of have that conscious thought. But it's teaching your brain, which has learned its thought pattern over time to cope a particular way, to kind of unlearn, to cope how it would have coped before you taught yourself to cope in a particular way, which is, you know, then caused a phobia.
Yeah.
It's essentially learned classical conditioning. But it's because conditioning is possible, kind of conditioning yourself away from it is possible, but it does take time.
I was going to say to you, because the delightful story of Domino vomiting that I was telling earlier on with this kid at the sleepover, she'd been avoiding sleepovers because of that happening. She was worried that someone was going to get ill, right? And it happened. And her mum said, in a weird kind of way, she managed to talk herself around after it had happened to say, do you know what? The worst thing happened. It was horrible. But it probably won't happen again. And if it does, it is not fatal. So she wanted to go and do another sleepover because she wanted to sort of put herself back in the position of, you know, slight risk, but also knowing that the risk wasn't as wasn't a fatal one.
And also, if it does happen, like in terms of probability,
she knows she can go
like,
home.
The chances of that happening again is it's very slight as well.
So, exactly.
Yeah, that's just a get out and a safety net. And obviously, if you've got that, then that's fine. If you can leave the room, if you manage that. I used to have a very, very strong fear of blood tests, and it took me till I was 20, I think, to actually get through one.
Wow. Okay.
And it was really short because it was due to a vein collapsing when I was 14.
All right, well, that'll do it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was absolutely... But I knew that was the case, but I still avoided it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I do understand it's possible. But it... it's... You know, I've had three blood tests, I think, since I was 20, but they do get less each time, you know.
Yeah, and because you're not building them up in your mind as much.
I still hate it. I'm not pretending that I go there and think, oh, yeah, you blood test. You know, I don't. But
no one loves them.
I manage, you know.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
Let me just ask you one more question before you go, and I'd be interested to sort of pick your brains. as someone who has Asperger's, about this whole thing of the devil on your shoulder. Now, the way your Asperger's works, does that mean that when something happens, you go into a very, you go into sort of procedure, you know that this is the right thing to do and so you do it? Or do you ever get that moment with the devil on your shoulder and you're tempted and you don't know which way to go?
It depends if I'm influenced in the first place.
Right.
So if I go into a situation and I'm already thinking, you know, I'm going to do it like that, then I'm kind of quite ballsy and one track, you know, and it'll be almost like, you know, I won't see another way. But if I've gone into it and I'm not expecting it and somebody offers me a different, you know, possible outcome, let's say, then I actually find that really difficult, because that makes a decision very, very difficult to make.
Because you've got disorder, I guess. So, for example, you bump someone's car. Would you have that same flashing thought as a lot of people would have, which is, just leg it. No one's seen it. Who's going to know?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
But is that because you're you, or is that just, is that part of the Asperger's, you think? It's impossible to say, I guess, isn't it? What a stupid question. Sorry about that, Giselle.
Yeah, Catherine.
I have to say things out loud sometimes just to get them out of my own head. But yeah, so what I'm asking you, Giselle, is am I a bad person for even contemplating that stuff?
No, I imagine that's just how a brain works, isn't it?
Kind of panic.
Yeah, I think that's fight or flight. Again, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. All right. You make me feel a little bit better, Giselle. I can sense a brooding judgment there behind all that. You're quite right. I'm an awful person. Nice to hear from you, Giselle. 03444991000. Hey, Alistair.
One minute.
Oh, hang on. Have we caught you? You're not in the loo or anything, are you?
No. I was just on speakerphone.
How very dare you?
Listening to the show.
Fair enough. I'll let you off.
Thanks to Dave last night, who allowed me to listen to the last half an hour.
He's a good one. I saw you on the line. He went, he's just listening. His internet's gone down.
I know. We were in the middle of one of your ghost stories, Carl, so I never heard the end of it.
It's probably a load of nonsense. I say, oh, I'll end up in a load of nonsense by the
right. Hey, listen, I don't want to overload Harrison, because obviously, he's given his experience, mm-hmm. and then Giselle's given his experience. But I was a social worker, and I did work with Asperger's people, and also I had experience of another therapy, which is called neuro-linguistic programming.
Oh, yeah, NLP, I've heard of that.
Right. Basically, one of the things that I won't go into any detail, and what I'll try and do is message Harrison about it. I agree that he should continue to try the hypnosis, but if it doesn't work, maybe he could research this as well after. But the basic thing about NLP is the therapist doesn't require the participant to go back and face any kind of trauma. What NLP is about is trying to rewire the brain now and present to approach situations differently, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Well, like, for example, the only thing I can equate it to is reading the Alan Carr books. And one of the main lessons of that, if you know, the easy way to stop smoking, right? First thing you've got to do is stop thinking of it as quitting. Giving up.
Yes.
You stop.
Yes.
Because the moment you say something like giving up, it makes you feel like you're sacrificing something. And actually, what he's trying to say to you is, you stop and you've got everything to gain.
Yeah.
So would that be that sort of thing?
Well, the example I've just thought of then was something that I did on myself, because you can actually do it on yourself as well. And it's something that Paul McKenna has at NLP. Clinic,
yeah,
you know, Paul McKenna,
yeah,
and it's like, for example, how to build your self-confidence if you're not very confident. One of the techniques that he talks about in his book is actually thinking of a different version of yourself in your mind, the best version of yourself, and you can see that person like on a cinema screen being the most confident person in the world. And in doing that, and also attaching relaxation techniques and stuff like that, in some cases it can work. Now, I think with Asperger's, I don't know if they'll dovetail together NLP and with Asperger's, because, of course, I don't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Harrison was to, you know, need to research, if it doesn't work what it, the path is doing at the moment, maybe it might be of help.
Yeah, it's worth a thought. Thanks very much, Alistair.
But anyway, the reason, well, a couple of reasons. First of all, the devil on the shoulder.
Yes, tell me.
Right, this was a major one. But because it was like major, it kind of made the decision a bit easier. And I'll tell you what happened.
Go on.
I had a business bank account at one point in my, when I was sort of doing self-employed social work. And one day, in the savings part of that account, I checked my balance, and normally what, you know, if you're lucky, you've got 100 quid in there or something.
Yeah.
I checked the balance, there was £30,000 in it.
What?
Yep.
Wow, you weren't joking when you said major. And it just appeared overnight?
Yep.
Flipping heck, Alistair.
Now, what you said about, you know, did they do the right thing? It's human nature, isn't it, to think, well, this has gone through the banking system, but will anybody miss this or not? And then you think, well, yeah, but then... And, of course, within a couple of days...
£30,000, I'm not surprised. I'm not judging you for a couple of days.
I realised that I couldn't live with myself, could I?
No. Also, the thought in my head was, it's come from somewhere. Someone's missing out because I've got this.
Absolutely.
Also, so, if I get busted, I'm going to look awful. You know, if you're thinking of it from a purely ego thing, I don't want people thinking I'm that dodgepot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 30 grand is a lot. So, in the end, there wasn't any decision to make, really.
Yeah.
I rang the bank up and I said, look, this ain't my money.
Yeah.
Take it back quick.
Take it back quick before I run away to Brazil. God, well,
that was mine. So did you, I mean, presumably you just, you dealt with it in one day, didn't you? So.
Yeah, it was I was only rich for about an hour once I knew, because I told the boss's assistant, she got in touch with payroll. Payroll obviously realised what had happened and told me that what's happened is they've given me someone else's wages as well as my own. So some poor newcomer hasn't been paid today. Meanwhile, there's me planning, you know, tattoos and booze.
It begs the question, though, does it not, that don't you deserve a pay rise?
Well, I mean, that's what the devil was saying. Maybe I told my dad as well, he went, maybe it's a bonus. I went, you and I both know it ain't a bonus at this time of year, but the idea would be delicious.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alistair, thanks very much for ringing, and thanks for...
Can I just say one thing very quickly? I saw my solicitor today.
Oh, good.
And can I just say that I'm feeling a sense of being much happier, relieved and humbled. I think things are going to be okay.
I think so too. And if the solicitor's saying it, obviously they're more qualified than I am, but it feels like you're putting your life in the right direction and you know...
It's old matters, and it's not as serious as before. So.
Okay, well, let us know, Alistair. But I'm glad they put your fears slightly to rest. I know that you won't feel completely right until it's all done, but...
love to Ian.
Yeah, I'll make sure I pass it on. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'm taking the girls to see his kittens.
Oh, brilliant.
It's going to be great. Thanks very much for ringing.
It's going to be like a school of cats, isn't it? Yours and Ian's.
Definitely. Although his cats are getting on better with the kittens than they did with Willow. I think Willow is just the wrong age. She's getting to the point where maybe... I suspect she was kicking out some hormones, which doesn't help the matter.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alistair, thanks very much for ringing. 0344 499 1000 if you want to give us a call. We can talk about the devil on your shoulder. We can talk about, you know, this idea of if you're working hard in a relationship, is it a sign that relationship isn't working? You're in the wrong relationship. I heard it said on this audiobook I was listening to, and I'll tell you later on in the show who was who'd written it. Really interesting person, seen life, you know, in all its permutations, has been to loads of therapy, and he said that was one of the things he'd learned. If you're working hard in a relationship, you're in the wrong relationship. Can that be right? 0344 499 1000. You're listening to The Late Night Alternative with me, Catherine Boyle.
On DAB, digital radio, online and on mobile.
We are Talk Radio.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.